just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the Maine outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Meet Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine outdoors.
You know, Bob, mm-hmm. I came back to Florida more than 2 weeks ago.
Right.
First day, it was bright, sunny day. It was like beautiful, 68.
Yes.
Sun was out. There was no wind on the lake.
Right.
Then for the next 2.5 weeks, there's been nothing but wind and rain.
Wind and mess, yeah.
So I've made a decision.
Cold, too.
Nights are cold. I've made a decision.
Go back to Florida.
I'm going back to Florida. You've got the show. It's all yours. I'm heading out.
You could do that, you know.
No, I wouldn't do that. I love Maine. I'm just waiting for things to improve.
You know what Mark Twain said?
If you don't like the weather, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you got it. That's right.
Anyway, we're so glad you could be with us tonight on Maine Outdoors. Every week, week after week, we have a great show. We talk about anything related vaguely to the Maine Outdoors. And if you'd like to be part of our program, Bob Lehman has a special phone number that you can dial toll-free. It won't cost you a nickel. And it's one of the best deals, I think, in the state of Maine. Bob, what's the number?
Certainly is.
Yes, sir.
1-800-966-1039. And you got to dial the whole number, you know. And if you're local, you can dial the whole number. 1-800-966-1039. We'd love to talk to you, even if you caught any fish lately or you're getting ready to go turkey hunting or whatever.
And even if you're in Bogota.
Or that's
Paris,
right.
You can listen to us.
Absolutely.
We stream throughout the world online. All you have to do is go to www.wvomepodcast, right, Norm?
Bogota.
It's wvomfm.com, I think. And
that's
then,
what it is. Okay.
And then you click on podcast.
And then
you select Maine Outdoors. Yeah.
And if you have friends from the outdoors, from Maine, who are stationed overseas or whatever, tell them about it. They can hear the show every Sunday night live.
Absolutely. I got a call the other day from a fellow in Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
To buy one of my books.
Oh, yeah. We've got listeners all over the country.
And he said he's been watching the video.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, I don't think we do video.
No.
But he called it a video.
You and I have.
I think he meant streaming live.
I think you and I have a face for radio.
I think we do. Radio, yeah, right.
Anyway.
We probably have to shave and everything, you know.
Yeah, you bet. Anyway, and Norm wants you to know that he appreciates it. If you're going to call in your iPhone, make sure you don't do it on the speaker.
No, don't use the speaker phone because
you get feedback. It's complicated. I'm going to introduce our guests tonight. We have two special guests with us. We're really happy and proud to have them on board. Before I do, though, I want to introduce the crew who make this show possible every week. Man behind the controls and the toggle switches in the ops center. He's known as the sweetheart of Grand Lake Stream. Our friend, Norman F. Floyd.
Good evening, Paul. And tell you what, this is great weather for ducks.
I guess that's about all it's good for. Yeah, all it's good for. And my co-host is a registered Master Maine guide. He used to run a fly fishing shop and brewer. He sold seeds all over the country for many years. He's a former trapper. He's a fantastic fly tire.
Oh, man.
And, man, he is no slouch with a fly rod either. My co-host, Robert Lehman.
Thank you ever so much. I appreciate it.
And I love your hat.
Right. How much did you say that was?
Those hats are collector
items. No, I mean for the intro.
Oh, the intro?
Yeah.
I'll catch you later on. All right.
Okay.
Now our guests tonight, who just joined us, and we are so pleased that they could be with us, Todd Mercer is a registered Maine guide. He's a whitewater guide. He's a fishing guide. And I've been with him in his drift boat. He knows his way around the rivers, and he's a great man to have on the river. He's also a great man to have in the studio. We look forward to having him. And with him is he's a member of Trout Unlimited. Hope I get your title right. He is the FERC coordinator. Now, FERC is an acronym which stands for Federal Energy Regulation Commission. Did I get that right?
Regulatory Commission.
Oh, Regulatory Commission. Okay, Steve Heinz. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you.
Did I pronounce your name right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, nice to have you here. And the topic tonight is the West Branch of the Penobscot River, which is one of my favorite places. I go up there. Todd's always up there. I see him every once in a while. We go up there and spend a week, and we fish for those landlocked salmon out there in the Big Eddy and just enjoy it all. the pieces. So they're going to be talking about that tonight. They're going to talk about the flow of the river, and they're going to talk about how, if you care about the future of the West Branch of the Penobscot, how you can get involved as a citizen. We'll be talking with them in just a couple of minutes. Before we do, however, I want to remind you again, this show is sponsored every week by Bob's favorite outdoor publication, the Northwood Sporting Journal.
Absolutely.
Bob even has a hat on that says Northwood Sporting Journal.
I do, yeah. It's my favorite hat, too.
My favorite as well. Yeah. Anyway, the May issue is on the newsstands this week. There's a photo on the cover of... Diane, right?
Yes, Diane. It's Mrs. Reynolds.
No, we have a new cover coming out. There's a trout on the new cover.
Oh, okay.
The May issue is... Or is it the June? No, the June issue is... No, the May issue is on the newsstands right now, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and if you'd like to get a subscription, you can call Alicia at 732-4880. That's Alicia, our circulation manager lady, at 732-4880. And don't forget to check out our website at sportingjournal.com. We have a complete archive of past digital subscriptions to the journal, and you can also check that out at no charge. If you want to read one of Bob's old columns he wrote last fall, you can go to the archives.
Really?
And check it out.
I didn't
know
that.
No charge for that either.
Wow.
So anyway, check it out, northwoodsportingjournal.com. Outdoor digest time right now, and we want to remind you, turkey season opens tomorrow morning, half hour before sunrise, and we look for a good turkey season. There's plenty of birds around. They're starting to show themselves. I think the mating season has begun to... It's starting to heat up.
It's on. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I got that impression. I saw a Jake on my way in tonight, out by the camp, and so anyway, turkey season opens tomorrow. You can hunt all day until a half hour after sunset, and a new thing this year. You know what that is, Norm?
Yes, you can register your bird online.
Yes, you can.
Tag it online. I guess you
tag
can
it online.
Yeah.
You don't have to drive all the way to the tagging station.
Nope.
Wait in line. You know, give them $2. You don't have to do any of that.
Nope.
You can just do it online with your computer.
Oh, I bet you they're going to charge you online.
And two turkeys is new, too.
I don't think so.
Is it a limit? A limit of two.
Two toms. Because
I know
two
if toms. I go to the town office and I'll buy my license, they'll charge me the whatever the fee is, $2 or $3. And if I do it online to get my license online, they still charge me the fee, even though I did it electronically.
Yeah, I don't think there's a fee for electronic tagging.
Oh, that'd be nice.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think that was one of the selling points. They
okay.
Yeah.
We were talking this morning about eating a wild turkey, Norm and I.
Yeah.
And Norm was said the breast is the only thing you really can eat because the legs are all full of tendons and stuff. It's awful hard to pick the meat out of the legs. If you find it that way, you've eaten them.
Well, the first turkey I ever shot, I tried to pluck it.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Skin the crazy
thing. I mean, it was good. Well, it took me 3 days.
Yeah.
Pluck that bird.
Yeah.
So from now on, I just skin them out and take the breast.
Yeah, that's really.
I only know of one guy who's cooked the legs, and he actually boiled them so he could pick the meat out.
But you put them in a crock pot, and they're not that bad.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Because I know if you roast it, it's like the legs are like baseball bats.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta cook them in a crock pot for at least 2 weeks.
Then you base them with the wine, and when you're all done, you throw them away and drink the gravy.
That's exactly what you do. You're exactly right.
I like that idea. I really like that idea.
Do you guys hunt turkeys?
I don't hunt turkeys.
You don't?
I've got a daughter that would really like to, and we haven't had a chance to get out yet. So
take her. It's fun. Kids love it. It's a great way to get kids hooked on hunting. Right. Do you hunt turkeys?
I've shot one or two, and I don't know if you shoot a Jake. Thighs are okay.
Yeah,
not that tough.
Yeah,
don't need to cook them nearly that long.
Yeah, you gotta undercook them. Don't want to overcook them. Anyway, I think that's the deal on the turkeys. And one other thing, remind you again, the deadline is fast approaching to apply for your moose permit. If you want to apply for a moose permit, you have until midnight on May 15th. That's just like 15 days, right? So get cracking on that. And I guess now it's time to invite Bob's favorite band.
And here they are.
They're always there, aren't they?
Aren't they?
The guys are
right,
so dependable. So utterly dependable.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Bob, I went up this afternoon to the Collins Center to see my granddaughter sing in a choir for the Bangor Symphony Orchestra,
wow.
No less.
No kidding.
And they were almost as good as you.
No, really?
Yeah.
They didn't have to try too hard.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, I thought you went to the circus today.
Yeah. They what?
Circus. Shrine Circus.
No, no, I went to the...
Yeah, I know, and I'm just kidding you.
Oh, that, okay.
Shrine Circus was today.
Oh, was it? Oh, I missed it. Yeah.
Hey, Alice and I were going, but we decided to enjoy it. Probably not.
What's fishing? Fishing. What's going on in the fishing world?
The fishing world is there's a lot going on, Paul.
Well, fill us in.
Okay. Well, of course, Ice Outline has moved farther north.
Yep.
And I don't know about East Grand, but I'm sure West Grand has got to be out of ice by now. Got to be. But East Grand, I'm not sure. That's up by Danforth. There's a line across there. So, of course, Moosehead, we haven't heard about that yet, and I doubt if it's out. But there's probably some open water, you know, in some of the coves and so forth up in that way. But we've had some cold nights. But this rain that's coming tonight, and we're looking for like 2 or 3 inches in some places.
Oh, yeah. So excited about that. Yeah.
And wind.
Oh, I love it.
45,
oh, bring on
50
the wind.
Miles an hour.
Oh, I love that wind on the lake, the rain.
They'll clean
the
out so many lakes, even up north. They're going to. But the only thing is, because the brooks will be high in the Dickens, and you won't be fishing brooks right off for at least the rest of the week.
Yeah.
And it's really too high to fish, too riley and dirty. And when they come down, it'd probably be good.
You know, when the ice
warm the temperature up a little bit.
You know, when the ice went out of Moosehead, I have that information. You know,
take I'd a like guess. To hear that.
Take a guess.
Probably May 27th.
The ice is out of Moosehead. It went out on April 25th at 8 a.m.
No kidding. Well,
that's early.
Too far off.
Isn't that early for Moosehead?
That is a little.
Yeah.
I think it's been early in a lot of places.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Well, that's an announcement then, isn't it?
Yeah. What else has happened?
Well, Brooks and Streams, as I said, is going to be kind of riley, so they'll have to leave them alone because there are always lakes and pond fishing.
Yep.
There are a lot of ponds and lakes because the weather's not going to be too good for a while.
Good salmon chop on Branch today.
Well, I bet it was. You better go up north and get into a cove somewhere if you want to do any fishing.
Oh, yeah. It was rough on Branch.
But the fishing has been fantastic, I guess, down there. My son Bobby has been whaling them.
I know.
I
heard that. Yeah.
You heard that.
Yeah. I can't get my boat in because the water's so low.
Yeah.
The rocks are everywhere. I have to climb over rocks to get the boat in. But the Municipal Public Works Department in Ellsworth is working on patching the dam so we can get that water level back up. That's good.
Yeah. Well, it'll take a while probably.
Well,
maybe not after all this water coming down.
Well,
they get it patched up.
Well, no, they're not going to do that until
June,
I heard.
May,
I think.
That's right. Well, there'll be a lot of water running into it anyway and running out of it too probably.
Right, yep.
Well, there's always a Grand Lake Stream, you know, and they keep that water level pretty good for fishermen.
Yep.
But of course, I imagine after this rain, they'll want to put it up, but that's all of the whims of the dam operators.
Yep.
But somewhere I asked Norm, and he didn't have time, or he couldn't find it.
No, I couldn't get on
but
the internet.
But it's probably 350 or so right now, 300 or so.
Couldn't get it on the internet here.
Right around that. It's fishable. We fished it before, you and I, Paul, and some of the boys. We fished that with 700.
Yeah, you tied a rope around my waist, tied it to a tree.
Right.
And
had a tether on you. You got him out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun to try to walk across a stream when the water level's like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Walk
across? But we did it.
Yeah, we did it. Hey, is that it?
That'll do you, Bill.
Hey, okay, thank
you,
sir.
We did get a
You're
phone
welcome.
Call from somebody from Greenville saying that they saw a bear cub wandering in their neighborhood in downtown Greenville.
Downtown Greenville?
Yeah, cub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe lost its mama.
You know, the likelihood of that, I think, would be remote, you know, unless somebody relocated the bear. I mean, I would think that the likelihood is a mother probably has a good idea.
A mother's probably hanging around somebody's bird feeder.
That's very good. Could be.
Cheap food.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay, I guess that wraps up our Outdoor Digest. Again, if you joined us late, we have two distinguished guests tonight. Todd Mercer is the main guide on the West Branch of the Penobscot, and with him is his friend Steve Heinz, who is the member of Trout Unlimited. He's the guy that coordinates with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And I got that right, didn't I, Steve, finally? Yeah. Anyway, I do pretty well for an old guy, don't you think?
Doing great.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, we're going to talk with those gents in just a couple of minutes. But first, Todd Mercer has a trivia question that he's burning a hole in his pocket, and he wants to share it with you. If you have the right answer to Todd's question, I'm going to send you one of my watercolor prints. And this is of a buck deer, and the title of the painting is called The Crossing. And I'll send you a giclée print. Is what they call it.
Nice. I've seen
business.
It.
It's a nice. It's on
beautiful.
Archival paper, and it's a painting of my dream buck. And I'll send that to you if you have the answer to Todd Mercer's question.
What are the three wild plants that are poisonous to touch?
All right. You ponder that. Meditate on that. Cogitate on that. We'll be right back.
Did you know the answer without looking it up?
No, I had to look it up. Oh, yeah. I had to look all that stuff up. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and we have a trivia question we're going to dispose of before we talk to our guest tonight in the studio. And Todd Mercer's standing by. We'll call him Judge Mercer, is going to judge the veracity of your answer. And good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors. Go ahead.
Hey, poison ivy, poison oak, and sumac.
By gummy, I think he's got it.
You think he's got it?
I think he's got it.
Okay. Well, the judge rules in your favor. What's your first name, caller?
This is Andy.
Andy?
Yeah.
Okay, Andy, where are you calling from?
I'm from Wilton.
From Wilton, okay. Good to have you on board tonight, Andy. You have one, I'm going to send you one of my watercolor prints, which I think you like. It's one of my favorite things, of course, is deer hunting, and I've tried to paint a picture of my dream buck, and I'm going to share that. We're going to send that to you. You'll have to buy your own frame because I'm too cheap to frame it and send it, but I'll send you the print, okay?
That's okay. You could just throw in one of those trophy buck books along with it. Be good.
Send in what?
The Maine skull and antler book.
Oh, I don't have. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that thing weighs about 50 pounds. It would cost me $1,000 to mail it to you. So I don't think you'll be getting that, but I will. If you want a bonus, I'll find something else I can throw in for you if you're not happy with the
point. No, that's fine. Okay.
All right, Andy. Anything else on your mind tonight, sir?
No. Just listening to your program, enjoying it.
Okay. Are you enjoying our Maine spring?
Yeah.
Great, huh?
Nice and wet.
Yeah. Wow. Snotty weather, huh?
Yeah.
It'll change, though, right? We know it will. It always does.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're going to put you on hold, and Norm will get your address, and I'll mail that print out to you this week. Okay, Andy?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. And stand by on the phone, all right? Okay. That was the correct answer. Poison ivy, poison oak, and poison sumac. Have either of you gents ever been run into any of this stuff?
Not allergic. The whole family never caught, never reacted to any of that stuff. Yep, it's a blessing.
Have you, Todd?
I have also never reacted to any of them.
No kidding. Yeah, for some people it's bad news, really bad news.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't bother me at all.
Nope. Have you ever?
Nope. I'm like the boys here.
Yeah, I never have. I never have either. Yeah, I was up to my plant, up to my building, up to my offices up in Enfield, and I was out back. Trimming down some of the brush and stuff, and I saw all this stuff. One of the girls in the office came out, and she said, "Paul, you know that stuff that you're standing in is poison oak or something?"
Really?
But I never got any itch from it or anything.
Well, there's a certain time of year, too, that makes a big difference, on certain plants, yeah.
Okay. All right, that's the correct answer, and we appreciate Andy coming up with the correct answer. Again, our guest tonight, Todd Mercer and Steve Heinz. And the subject tonight is the West Branch of the Penobscot River. Some very important things happening that are going to affect the future of the river for the next 40 years. And we're going to talk to these gents about that. And then if you have a question for either of these fellows, the number to call is
1-800-966-1039. And you dial the whole number if you're local, or if you're long distance, 1-800-966-1039.
Okay. Steve, let's start with you. We'll bounce back and forth between you and Todd. You are a member of Trout Unlimited, have been, I assume, for quite a few years, probably.
Yes, sir.
And how did you become what is the FERC coordinator, and how did you end up with that role?
Well, I've been active as a volunteer for about 12 years, and I guess about 5 years ago, I'd done things like small dam removals and culvert upgrades and these kinds of things to try to improve the habitat for the fishing, because the better the habitat, the better the fishing. And kind of felt like I'd done all I could there. And there were all of these relicensings coming down the pike in Maine. A whole lot of projects right now are being relicensed statewide. I mean, it's not just Ripogenus and then the Penobscot Mills project, which is everything from Millinocket to, west.
Yeah.
Also got Azuscahus. You know, you also got Lisbon, Lewiston Falls. There's just right now, there's like a big hump of them.
Why did they all come up at the same time?
Because it's just kind of a random act of relicensing, and
happened that way.
Yeah, and it's there's like a big slug of them coming down, and they're all, most of them will be relicensed for 40 years. It's 30 to 50, and kind of 40 is what they usually pick, and it's a long time. It's I think most folks like things to change gradually, but this is one of these things you get one shot, and that's going to determine how the project gets operated, what the flows are, how it's going to work for you.
Okay, we're going to talk about, all of us enjoy and love the West Branch. We'll talk about that, but we have a caller standing by who may have a call for you. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors with Todd Mercer and Steve Hines. Go ahead.
Yes, this is Barbara from Sismont.
Hi, Barbara.
I'm calling because I heard on the news that PFAS is in freshwater, but it's in Albion, Sanford, China, and limestone. And they said they only want to eat one bass per month out of these places. Is this true?
I can't give you any factual information. Do you know, Steve?
There was an article I read in the Maine Sunday Telegram this morning to that effect. And I think people don't realize that you should be sparing with what you eat for wild fish up here. Besides that, even the big lakes, they all have too much mercury in them. It's from years of acid rain. So you got to read the warnings. You're taking a chance with your health.
Yeah. Well, when I work for Fish and Wildlife, When I work for Fish and Wildlife, I was the information guy for Fish and Wildlife, and we were criticized by the lady whose name was Mills, not Janet Mills, but it might have been her sister, who was the head doctor for the state of Maine, that we weren't giving enough warnings out on eating bass and perch. And so we had a meeting, and they were talking about the percentage of mercury in these fish, and it's microscopic stuff. And I said to her, well, if you could have a choice, doctor, of eating a steady diet of Big Macs or a steady diet of bass at a Solid Abscook Stream, I said, which would you choose? She laughed. She said, I get your point. I'd probably go for the I'd probably go for the bass from Solid Abscook Stream. So you're right. I mean, as long as you don't eat a lot of these, I think you're all right. If you made a steady diet of it, I think it might. And if you're young or if you're pregnant, Bob and I don't have that problem. But if you're young, and you probably want to watch a large consumption of it. But I think if you eat an occasional bass or perch, I don't think you're going to get. Steve, you don't agree with that?
No, I just.
A big fisherman, and he's been out on the water quite a few times already. He's got over 100 different kind of fish, and he offers me fish once in a while, but I don't dare take it anymore because it scares me.
What is your first name?
Barbara.
I shouldn't ask you how old you are, right? Are you middle-aged?
Well, I'm 78.
Okay. Oh, Barbara.
And my son's a beautiful, he just loves outdoors. He's a fisherman, and he's already caught over 100, and he has kept record of it, how much they weigh, the temperature of the water, and everything.
Barbara, you got to listen to me. You got to trust me, okay?
Okay.
I'm not a doctor, but I've read up on all this stuff, and I think I know what I'm talking about here. Barbara, at your age and my age and Bob's age, don't be concerned about that. If you want to eat an occasional wild-caught fish, whether it's a bass or perch, salmon, trout, whatever it is, go ahead and enjoy it. It's not going to hurt you at our age. Okay? Unless you're pregnant. If you're pregnant, that might be a problem.
Nope.
You're not pregnant, and you're an older lady. Enjoy the fish, Barbara. If he offers you a fish, take it and eat it. And enjoy it, all right? It's not going to hurt you.
Thank you so much, and I will do that.
Okay, I'm glad. I hope you trust me on this.
You took away my fear, so.
All right, good. And
thank you.
Call us back and tell us how much you enjoyed it, all right?
Okay.
You'll be all right, Barbara. Trust me. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. Okay, the West Branch. Oh, we have another caller? Oh, wow. We're busy tonight. Good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors with Todd Mercer and Steve Hines. Go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Scott here in Waterville. I'd like to know the feeling of them closing the dam or taking down the dam up here near Madison, because it would affect the paper mill, or actually the Skowhegan paper mill, and a lot of people lose their jobs. I'd like to hear how what your feeling is on that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, Trout Unlimited certainly would have liked to seen all four of those dams go out there on the lower Kennebec and, you know, kind of, you know, or I guess another way to do that for the Sappy Mill would be a engineered bypass there like they got at Howland. But it's not like they couldn't figure out something else to do with the waste, and there isn't, you know, there are other water sources. So as far as recovering Atlantic salmon, if you care about that, you're going to have to do more than just build fish ladders at all four of these dams and hope that they work, because the odds of that happening really are very low.
So are we addressing this man's point? I mean, I guess he's asserting there's an argument here between profit, survival of jobs, and making the rivers like they used to be. This is always the argument, right?
Yeah.
Can we have both?
We think so. And the governor made it clear that she would do whatever was required to keep the Sappy Mill open, and we took her at her word.
Okay. So what do you think is going to happen there?
Well, on the present course, NOAA Fisheries issued what they call a biological opinion, or a BIOP.
Yeah.
And they said that what the operator, which is Brookfield Renewable, had proposed, which was a series of fishways for all four of the dams, that it would be adequate to prevent the extinction of Atlantic salmon in Maine. And I guess, you know, Trout Unlimited and the Kennebec Coalition, who are some of our partners there, like Atlantic Salmon Federation, Maine Rivers, the Natural Resources Council of Maine, we thought otherwise.
Okay. I hope, are you still there, caller? I guess we lost her, right, Norm? Yeah. Okay. All right, thank you for that explanation. Let's go back to one of my favorite places, the West Branch of the Penobscot River. For those people who may not be familiar, the West Branch comes out of Ripogenus Lake, and it's a historically famous, wonderful fishing spot. Right, Todd?
Absolutely.
Talk about that a little bit, would you?
Well, what would you like to know?
I'd like you to pretend that somebody isn't as familiar as with the West Branch and the Big Eddy and that flow there and how popular it is a fishing spot. Let's assume some folks aren't familiar with that. Just tell us a little bit about it, would you? Why you love it so?
Oh, well, I do love it so.
Mm-hmm.
Ripogenus Dam was built back in, you know, the mid-19-teens, and its purpose was to hold back water to run logs down the river, and they ran logs all the way to Bangor and sawed them up into boards and built ships. In the around 1900, they built the mill in Millinocket to produce paper. And in the early 1950s, they completed McKay Station, which is the hydro station below Rip Dam. And kind of fast forwarding a little bit, we got to Great Northern Paper, and they used that dam to power the mills in town. The mills ran on 40 cycle electricity.
Right.
And they decided in around the year 2000 that they were going to switch all of the generating capacity over to 60 cycle electricity so they could sell it back to the grid.
Yeah.
And that's when things started to change. Before they gutted McKay and switched to 60 cycle electricity and were able to sell it back to the grid, Great Northern ran very stable water flows. You know, it was set it and forget it. They would run the same water flow for weeks and weeks at a time.
And stable water flow is what the rafters want. It's what the fishermen want. It's good for the fishery, right?
It's what the environment wants.
Yeah, okay. And McKay Station, we're going to have to take a break here, but McKay Station now is generating electricity for the grid, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So you guys don't advocate doing away with the K-Station, right?
Not going to happen.
You're just looking for more reasonable water flows? All right, we're going to get into that in just a second, but we're going to take a break, take a profit break, and be right back. You stay with us here on Maine Outdoors. Okay, we're going to continue to explore our favorite place, the West Branch of the Penobscot River, in just a minute, but we're going to take a call. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors with Todd Mercer and Steve Hines. Go ahead.
Hello, George from Beasley. How are you today?
What's your first name?
George.
George. How's it going, George?
Yep. It's going good.
Good. What's on your mind?
I got a couple of things. I was plucking a turkey. I found out by accident an easy way to do it. I shot one early in the morning, and I drove into my camp, and I didn't have any ice or a cooler, so I tied him to the dock and put him in the water and put him under the dock, and then I went fishing for a couple hours. And later on that morning, he plucked everything come off of that just as easy as can be.
You got to be kidding.
You're lucky. You're lucky one of those snapping turtles didn't get it.
Yeah.
Well, so, that's the risk you take, I guess.
They pluck easy once they've been soaked in water?
Yeah, he was probably under that dock for about 2 hours, and I brought him home, and he plucked just as easy as can be. They pulled right off.
You know what I thought you were going to tell me, George?
What's that?
I thought you were going to tell me that you hooked a long line on that turkey and buzzed around the lake with your outboard. Yeah, well, maybe there is an easy way to pluck a turkey, but I've done it once, and I'm never going to do it again.
Yeah, I pluck them, and then I freeze them, and then later on in the winter, I make jerky out of them and maybe a pie out of them.
I've never had turkey jerky.
Turkey jerky.
Yep.
Turkey jerky. can you send me one of those? Can you send us an envelope with a couple of those in it so we can try it?
Huh? I'll actually bring them. When I make some, I'll bring some to you.
I'd love to taste it. I've had coyote jerky that Jerry Levine smokes, and we both agreed that it was not the best thing we've ever eaten. But I bet turkey jerky is pretty good. That sounds great.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But I also have a question for your guest.
Okay.
The question is, what will happen to the fishery if the Rip Dam is taken down?
That's not an issue if I can field that one. I mean, it's not going to happen.
It's a hypothetical. It ain't going to happen.
Right? Yeah, it's never going to happen. It's not under discussion. I mean, what they do when they start these relicensings is one of the first things they do is kind of establish what's going to be discussable and what and how far you can go, and that never even came up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a number of dams. I mean, that's one of the larger generators of power, and there's nothing wrong with the dam. It'll be there for another 100 years.
I think I'm no hydro engineer, but I imagine if they took the dam out, that would affect the whole upper watershed. You'd lose lakes like Chesuncook and on Caribou Lake, all those lakes, right? It would be a horror show. So it ain't going to happen, but it shows you thinking about it anyway.
I just worry about it.
Yeah.
But my last comment is, I just want to thank you guys for doing what you do. And I really appreciate it, and I think there's a lot of people out there that do appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay, well, we appreciate that, don't we, Bob?
We certainly do.
Yeah. Very nice of you to say that. You've made our day, and we appreciate it, George. And make sure we get some of that turkey jerky.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, the West Branch of the Penobscot, before the break, you were talking about it, Todd, and why you care so much about the place. Of course, we could digress and ask you questions about what's the best fly to use, when, so on and so forth. But let's try to stay on topic a little bit. Maybe we can discuss flies a little later. I know Bob is itching to ask you the question. But what concerns you about the West Branch? And at this point, with all the experience you have on the river, have the energy companies been irresponsible? Have they been not paid enough attention to the management of the flow? What kind of grade do you give them?
In the last few years, I would say the grade would be poor. They've managed it really well for profit. They haven't managed it really well for the fishery or the environment or the things that we care about on the ground that we love.
So you give them a C+, C minus probably in there? Steve, go ahead.
Well, if you had yourself a camp up on just Guncook and the summers of 2020 and 2021, there was so much dewatering. I mean, it was like, a 50-yard hike from where you could beach your boat. to your camp. And, you know, it was, you know, well, even launching boats was problematic because there was such the ramps didn't work right for most of the summer. So, my fishing is down, you know, where Todd is, but, you know, down below, but the folks up there in the lake, they were really upset for 2 years in a row. And, the water was low, but, we've seen low years before when it was managed a heck of a lot better.
Well, what's the answer? I mean, they get a capital investment in that dam. They've got to make a profit. They've got to generate energy. You think there should be a better happy medium between their profit setup and the good of the waterway?
That's right, and that's what hopefully that's what the relicensing process is going to result in. Some rules for them to go by. Right now, there's a set of terms and conditions that determine how much water they can release and at what time of the year. And unfortunately, because of the way the last license was written, it was written to keep the mills open in Millinocket. And so they can draw that lake down as far as they want and still be within still be legal, and that's something that needs to get fixed.
And we know these are changing times, so no doubt the licensing is not going to be as easy as it was 30, 40 years ago, probably, right?
Hopefully.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, we have another caller standing by, and we'll continue this conversation, but let's take a call. Good evening. You're in Maine Outdoors with Todd Mercer and Steve Hines. Go ahead.
Hi there. Great show as usual.
Thank you.
I had a question about the fish ladders and what is confusing, I guess, to someone that maybe isn't as comprehensive about it. If the fish that you always see jumping the falls or rapids on the TV, are the Maine Atlantic salmon different, and they fish ladders just do not work? I mean, I guess that's what I get confused about. Why don't fish ladders work? I'll take the answer off air.
Okay, thanks for the good question. Thank you, sir. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, the reason that they don't work is because the science that drives them is nonlinear. And what nonlinear means is if you can change something just a little bit, and it can make a big difference. Okay. And, you can talk to the people that design them, and they'll show you this equation and that equation and all that, and they'll put these things in. But then when they put tags in these fish and see if they can get up and down the fish ladders, they don't work. I mean, an example is they just had some reports on the dams on the lower Androscoggin River, and they've got fish ladders supposed to pass both and fish lifts. They're supposed to pass shad, American shad, and alewives. And guess what? They only pass about half of the alewives and river herring, and they don't pass any shad at all. And that's not uncommon. Some of the guys that are the scientists that really know this stuff, they'll tell you they should design in enough money to redesign these and do them over because it's just hard to get right.
Let's do this before we run out of time. I don't want you guys to be left without being able to make your point. So, caller, if you'd be patient for just a minute, we're going to take your call. But before we get up against the clock, I want to give these gents a chance. Just let's cut right to the chase. What's the message you want for people that are listening right now who care about the West Branch? What do you want them to know?
Well, the thing is, the process is designed for the common citizen to be able to interact with it. You know, you do have the resource protection agencies, you do have organizations like TU and others. We're working together on this. We're working with the Ripogenus Chesuncook camp owners, American Whitewater, Appalachian Mountain Club, Maine Rivers, select Maine guides like Todd, Atlantic Salmon Federation, Penobscot Indian Nation, and we're working along with those state and federal agencies to try to get information to FERC to make a good decision. But individual people can do that too. And if you'd like to do that, then please just Google Maine Trout Unlimited, and on the top line menu, you will see FERC relicensings. And it'll show you how you can send a text message to FERC The thing you have to be able to do, though, and you need to write this down, so get your pen and paper, is you need to be able to tell them it's Project P2572, and that's the Ripogenus Project.
Say that again. What's the number?
P2572. And tell them what you see. If you see something good, tell them. But if you're like me and who's been fishing that for 25 years, and Todd, you know, we don't think it's fishing as well, and we think that part of the reason is that we don't have the stable flows we used to have.
Okay, if you were facing across the table, if I were a, let's say I was with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, in a couple of sentences, what do you want me to know?
We want you to know that the resource is not being managed to balance the needs of fishermen and the power generation. That's what the process is supposed to do, is create balance, and we think it's being lost.
And FERC has the power to do that, right?
They do, yes.
Okay. Let's take a call. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Todd Mercer and Steve Hines. Go ahead.
Good evening, Paul. This is Bob Mercer. How are you?
Hey, Bob. How are you?
I just thought I'd call so that Todd knows I was paying attention.
Oh, okay.
Good evening, Father.
what do you think, Bob? Is Todd doing an okay job tonight?
Well, I'll give him a few lessons, but I think he'll be all right.
All right.
Have Todd tell you the anecdote of the story about what happened to the fish in the river when they did shut the dam down for a while to see what would happen.
Okay, we'll do that. Hey, I'll see you Wednesday morning for breakfast, Bob.
I'll be there.
What are you going to have?
I don't know.
I think two eggs over easy.
No, they make a beautiful thing there called Crab Benedict.
Oh, that sounds good. All right. Hey, I'll see you there.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Okay. And for the benefit of those who may not be inside here, the fellow that just called is the father of my guest, Todd Mercer. Todd, do we have time for that anecdote? Do we have time for that anecdote?
Yeah, I think it feeds in nicely.
Okay, go ahead. Tell it.
Because what we're seeing the last few years is they've started to swing the water flows so that when they can make money, they'll run it up to 3,000 cubic feet per second, which is a relatively high water situation. And then when they can't make a whole lot of money, when the prices go down, they'll drop the water flows back to 1,200, 1,400, 1,800 cubic feet per second, which, like, if you're right at Big Eddy, that's exposing maybe 10 or 15 feet anyway of shoreline.
Right.
Which, you know, if the water's coming in and out and the tide like that, every time that tide goes out, you're slaughtering all the bugs that are living in all the nymphs that live on the bottom in that area.
Oh, I never thought of that. That's a good point.
So
that's the forage. That's the feed for the fish.
That's the feed for the fish.
Oh.
So Steve was present last fall for a study that Brookfield ran where they were checking to see the impact of what happens if there's a lightning strike and it shuts McKay Station completely off.
Yeah.
It makes fishing up in the gorge really interesting, I can tell you that. But I'll let Steve talk about the fish stranding study because that was...
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, what you see, on average, it's been at least once a year for the last 5 years, is when you get a lightning strike, it just trips a breaker and they quit generating power there. And the flows go from nominally 2,000 CFS down to 400-500 CFS. And as a study, as part of the relicensing, they did this last October just to see what would happen and to collect data.
Yeah.
And TU asked for the study, and then FERC told Brookfield to do it. And then we also had our own volunteers up there to see what would happen and just kind of keep tabs on that. And there were many strandings. Brookfield counted over 450 fish strandings, up from Nisatahook Deadwater up to the Little Eddy. We counted about 200. We saw a lot of mortality. We saw 60 dead fish and minnows there.
This is after a lightning strike?
This happens once on average once a year when when and maybe some of your listeners have been there when it happens. All of a sudden it's like somebody flushed the toilet or something. I mean, they're glug glug, where'd the water go? And it traps and strands fish. If it's when we were there, it was relatively good conditions, early October, 60 degree water temperature, 60 degree air temperature, you know, but we still saw a bunch of dead fish, mostly young salmon, mostly landlocked salmon par. And there were just more stranded stone flies than you could even count. But this is happening at least once a year, and we think it's usually happening hottest part of the summer, thunderstorm, worst part of the winter, nor'easter. And under those conditions, it's going to kill a heck of a lot more fish and a heck of a lot more invertebrates than we saw.
So we have you named a lot of stakeholders who are going to be advocating the same position you guys have with FERC. And how long will it take FERC to make a decision? A couple years?
We're in the second year of a 5-year process. So there's plenty of time to comment. But what we're trying to do now is, you know, and why we're really happy to be here tonight is is people got to become aware and become informed. If they'd like to be on my email list and look and for me to send them stuff from time to time, my email address is just Heinz, like a bottle of ketchup, at Maine, like the state, .rr.com. Heinz at MaineRR.com, and I'll put you on an email list. And from time to time, we're early in the process. We're still just studying, but we think that we'll have more studies. We're going to be asking for more studies the next year, and we'll see more data.
We appreciate you guys coming along. I'm going to write about this. You've got me all fired up, and I've learned some things tonight, and I'm sure the folks at home have. And we appreciate you visiting. We'd like to have you. Let's keep talking about this as time goes on. And Bob and I would like to have you back, wouldn't we, Bob?
Oh, absolutely.
And keep us posted on how it goes, and any things that you think would be interesting, let us know. And we'll share it with our audience. Thanks again.
Oh, you're welcome.
And what's your favorite fly on the West Branch? Todd Mercer.
You want to ask me that right on the air?
Yeah.
I'm going to say a parachute Adams.
Parachute Adams, huh? That's one of my favorite flies.
I know it's one of your favorite flies. That's why I said that.
I think you're holding back, though. I think you got another secret ingredient you're not telling me about. Anyway, thanks for being here, guys. We appreciate it. Next week, Bob and I will be with you, and our guest is going to be Bob Mallard, who's going to tell us about his brand new book.
Oh, boy, that'll be
interesting. We always have a good time with Bob. He can be a little controversial, and we're going to have an exciting show, and we'll see you all next week right here on
Maine Outdoors.